Good morning. Kind of beautiful weather out there right now. In case you have been sheltered over the last several days and you didn't realize we have this, I've been calling her a lady. I'm not sure she's going to be a lady or not. We have this lady coming to visit us by the name of Sandy. Yeah, Sandy. And, you know, Sandy right now, as I understand, as of the reports this morning, is a Category 1 hurricane. You know, those things, you just never know where they're going to hit. You know, they can predict as best they can, but you don't know. By this afternoon, the wind is supposed to pick up a whole lot more. The rain is supposed to be picking up a lot more. We want you to stay safe. So we will not be having services here this evening. You may still have some preparations that you need to make to get ready for this storm. As I have told people, if you've never been in a hurricane before, you prepare for the worst and you pray for the best. So prepare for it and do whatever you need to get ready. You know, chances are power is going to be out for at least a couple of days. Things of that nature. So prepare yourself for that, but most importantly, be safe. Cars can be replaced, houses can be rebuilt, all those other things. We want you to be safe. So we don't want you out here driving in, you know, bad weather this evening, okay? So keep that in mind. That's what our plan is for this evening. Now, these are public service announcements. I guess you kind of figured that out here. I want to get these out of the way ahead of time here. There is a sign-up sheet I put on the bulletin board this morning. Again, prepare for the worst, hope and pray for the best, okay? We don't know what's going to happen as a result of this storm. The latest tracking that I saw this morning is showing the western edge of the cone coming a little bit north of us. So, you know, we may not get the full brunt of this storm and so forth, but we are going to get something. Last year after we had Irene came through, we still had power here at the building. A lot of folks around us did not. And the elders, we talked about it and said, you know, one of the things that we want to be able to do, if we can, is to be, if it's necessary, if it's needed, to be a place where, you know, we can distribute emergency supplies to the community as they need and so forth. We won't know what's going to happen with all of that until probably, late Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning. However, if the worst happens and we have, you know, widespread destruction like we did with Irene last year, and we have power here, then we plan to be able to provide some services and so forth to folks. So there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, help with disaster relief or whatever I titled it. I wrote it up this morning real quickly. If you can help distribute, you know, bottled water and food boxes is mainly what we're anticipating. We can get those from disaster relief folks. If you can help to be able to distribute those, if you would sign up on the list out there, and if we need to do that, then I know who people that I can call and say, hey, we're going to do this. Can you come and help? And we'll set up a schedule so that people around the area can come and pick up items that they need and so forth. So if you're able to help with that, please sign up so I know who to call. Again, you know, with these kinds of things, you know, things are really up in the air, in the hurricane air, until actually it's all over with, and then we assess and figure out, you know, what we need to do and where we go from there, okay? So please keep those things in mind concerning this storm. Again, we want you to be safe more than anything. Dolores Hoosier's brother, Robert Alexander, has been diagnosed with cancer, and she called this morning and asked for us to place him on our prayer list. He's supposed to have surgery early next month sometime. So please keep Robert Alexander in your prayer for that. We have been focusing our study on Sunday mornings on getting to know Jesus, and primarily we've been focusing on a lot of different things that the Bible has to say, describing different characteristics of Jesus and who He was and what He does and so forth. This morning, I want us to focus our attention in what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12 about Jesus as Him being the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? So if you haven't already, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and let's notice a couple of things about what the writer here is telling us about Jesus and what that really means to us. Now, you notice on your outline, letter A there, surrounded but don't surrender. A little history lesson for you. December 1944, that's during World War II, okay, just to kind of give you a broad spectrum here, what's going on. The Allies were encroaching upon Germany, and the Germans decided to try to make in a sense, it was a last-ditch effort of a push to break through the Allied lines. And the battle that ensued during those next several days over that became known as the Battle of the Bulge, where the Germans had actually pushed a bulge into the Allied lines in an effort to break through. There's one particular part of that battle that is very significant to what we're talking about this morning, and it is the battle for the city of Bastogne. Bastogne was a major crossroads in that whole effort. In other words, that's where all the bridges were, and if you held Bastogne, then you controlled what was, you know, activity that was going to be going on, traveling back and forth, supply lines and all those things. And at that particular time, the Allies held the city of Bastogne. But the Germans ended up surrounding the city. Okay? And during that battle, and it seemed at times that it was going to be pretty hopeless, the weather was really bad. The Allies were not able to resupply the American troops that were there holding the city. And the Germans had surrounded the city. And so things were looking pretty hopeless for the Allies at that particular time. In fact, it was the 101st Airborne that was there in the city. And the acting commander of the 101st Airborne, Brigadier General Anthony McAuliffe, was delivered a message by the German troops calling upon them to surrender, to make an honorable surrender. And he sent back a one-word reply. Nuts. That was his reply. Nuts. In other words, that ain't happening, okay? I'm paraphrasing, okay? That one word ain't going to happen. They are not going to surrender. Even in that hopeless situation, they decided they were not going to surrender. And of course, as the history would tell us, the weather cleared, they were able to get supplies, and they were able to, General Patton's army, as a matter of fact, was able to break through the German lines and rescue the soldiers there that were surrounded by the Germans. Eventually, of course, we know the rest of the history. But here's what I want you to think about, and the reason that I kind of gave that long explanation. It's that whole idea of being surrounded. That a lot of times when we think of the concept of being surrounded, it oftentimes has these negative connotations to us, doesn't it? You know, it's like, oh no, we're surrounded, you know, what's going to happen now, and how are we going to get out of this? And sometimes even in our lives, we kind of look at ourselves being surrounded by bad stuff going on in our lives, and it's like, how am I going to get out of this? Like, there's no way out of this situation. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, makes a tremendously powerful statement about being surrounded. But this being surrounded is from a whole different perspective, isn't it? You see, in chapter 11, he's just gone through this list of you know, what we call the who's who of the faithful, you say. And he goes through this whole list through Bible history of people who have been faithful to God, even under circumstances that were, you know, just awful circumstances. And yet their faith held them steadfast. So he goes through this list of all of these people of great faith. And then in chapter 12 in verse 1, he begins that section by saying, since then, or therefore, since we are surrounded by such, and he calls them a great cloud of witnesses. Okay? Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Well, what's this witnesses he's talking about? It's all of those people of faith. He says, they have encircled us. They have surrounded us. If you close your eyes for just a moment and try to make a mental picture, then maybe you can see Abraham and Moses and David and all of those others that are there in the crowd that are circling us right now as a great cloud of witnesses. And I don't know about you, but you know, when I think about being surrounded under those circumstances, ain't no way I'm going to surrender. Okay? When Satan calls upon me to surrender, says, just give up, you can't do it, I'm going to say, nuts. Okay? Nuts. I'm not surrendering. Why? Because I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Okay? And those witnesses serve as a powerful encouragement to help us in dealing with whatever it is we need to deal with. Now, more importantly, in telling us that we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, look at what he tells us to do. Okay? Therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, okay? He says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Okay? So, first step is when we look at this great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, that we need to get rid of and throw off everything that would trip us up. Everything that would cause us to stumble and fall. Why? Because we're in a race. And that's what he says next. And run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay? Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done any running or, you know, anything like that. You know, I'm talking about like in track in high school. I used to run track in high school, believe it or not. That was in my much younger days. And one of the greatest things that somebody came up with, I don't know who came up with them, but I loved them. They're called ankle weights. Okay? You put those ankle weights on and you're practicing and, you know, kind of getting ready for that race. And just before you get up there into the starting blocks, you take those ankle weights off. And I promise you, your feet feel like you can fly. I mean, it's like, where'd my feet go? They're just so light. Well, that's the concept that the writer here wants us to kind of put into our mind. That's what sin, in a sense, weighs us down, you see? And so he's using this visual here as a way to say, take that stuff off. Get rid of those ankle weights. Whatever it is in your life that will trip you up, whatever it is that will slow you down, whatever it is that will hinder you in this race. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Okay? And remember that as you're running, you've got all around the stadium. I was watching a football game yesterday. I was watching a couple of them there. And in particular, I noticed I was watching the Georgia and Florida game. Okay? I can say things like that here because, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of Georgia-Florida fans here. You know, down in South Carolina and down in Florida when we were down there, you know, you talk about that and you go, oh, you know, you got Florida over here and Georgia over here and they don't talk to each other. You know, how serious it is down there. But one of the things that I noticed is they were showing these aerial shots of the stadium yesterday. You could see it very clearly. And it was almost half of the stadium was in Georgia Bulldog red, and the other half of the stadium, you could see the blue of Florida, you see? And it was like, that's just amazing. But you know what all those people were? Not only were they fans, but they were witnesses. You see, those players down on the field were surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. And what were they doing? They were cheering on their team. You see? And so in this case, what we've got is this great cloud or crowd of witnesses surrounding us, cheering us on as we run this race of life. And so the first thing that the writer tells us is, let's just get rid of everything that would trip you up, everything that would entangle you, anything that would cause you to stumble. Throw it off. And the second thing that he says here is, check your focus. Check your focus. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. So two things that we want to make sure we're focusing on with this right now is, number one, let's throw off the stuff that's going to trip us up. And secondly, let's check where we're looking. You see? One of the things that they'll tell you if you're running in a race, you know, maybe you're running track or whatever, or, you know, if you're out on that football field and you catch the ball and you're running, one of the things that they tell you not to do is look behind to see who's chasing you. It doesn't matter. Just run, you see? Don't worry about where he is. Just run. Because if you turn around and look to see who's back there, guess what you're not doing? You're not running as fast as you can. You're distracted. And so the author here is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. You see? Fix your eyes on Jesus and run toward Him. You won't be distracted. Okay. Now, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, okay, he describes then Jesus as, first of all, the author of our faith. And so the title of point number two here, are you writing a book? Okay? You know? And you know, it's just the simple idea that, you know, why do people write books? Well, because they've got something in their mind, whether it's an experience, whether it's knowledge about some idea or whatever it is, they've got something that they're putting down to share with other people. They have a plan, in other words. They have ideas. And they're putting those down so that other people can be able to read those and be able to have the benefit of that. And so in that sense, you see, we need to look at Jesus as being an author. Well, first of all, I mean, actually, he is an author, right? I mean, he did write a book. Okay? All right? So in that sense, he really is an author. But not only that, the word here that's used for author really refers to the beginner. That's really the idea that the writer here is talking about. He is the beginner. Okay, he's the one that initiated the plan. Okay, he's the one that put it together and began putting that plan in motion. So in that sense, he is the author. Okay, or the beginner of the plan that is salvation. And not only is he the author, that is the one who put the plan who put the plan together to begin with and then put it in motion, he is also the one who sustains that plan today. And that's important, you see, because we need to see Jesus not just simply as the one who wrote the book a long time ago, you see, but we need to see Jesus as the one who is still sustaining the plan that's written in the book. You see? He's still maintaining it. And the still is for you and I today. And that's one of the reasons why what the writer here is telling us in chapter 12 is so significant even to us today. This isn't just something that we're reading about as a history lesson that he wrote to the Christians way, way back then. This applies to you and I today just as equally. And we need to see it that way. That same cloud of witnesses, in other words, that was for the Christians in the first century when they first read this, is the same cloud of witnesses just with more people added to it that you and I have watching over us and cheering us on today. See? And Jesus, as the author of our faith, that is the beginner, the one who put it all together, is still maintaining or sustaining that plan for you and I today. In other words, it didn't end somewhere along the way already. And then also, he is referred to as the finisher. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, the writer says. And the word here, some of your translations will even use the word completer. Okay? And so when he says finisher or completer, he's talking about the one who has brought that plan to completion. And Jesus did that on the cross of Calvary. And that's why he is referred to as the finisher of our faith. Remember, of all the different seven different sayings that Jesus made while he was on the cross, perhaps the most significant, at least in my mind, is, "It is finished." See? And in that way, Jesus finished or completed the plan of salvation. The task of reconciling mankind to Himself. It was completed on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus then was able to make that declaration, "It is finished." Okay. And the writer in this very last section of the last couple of verses here of this section, verse 3, look at what he endured in order to bring that plan to completion. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men." Why should we consider that? Again, it's for our benefit. "So that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You see, the whole purpose of having this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us is so that we recognize that we've got a cheering section. So that we don't, in the midst of our spiritual warfare that we face, that we don't take our eyes off of Jesus and get distracted by the things of the world, so we end up not finishing the race. The race that Jesus has marked out for us by His death, burial, and resurrection. The plan that He wrote, the plan that He put into motion, the plan that He finished by His death on the cross. My question for you this morning is, do you know my Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith? Do you know Jesus that way? Do you recognize this great cloud of witnesses that's surrounding you to cheer you on? Maybe there's something that's distracting you as you're trying to run the race that's marked out for you. If there is, let's throw it off this morning, as the writer says. Let's throw it off, because it'll just trip you up. If there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian yet, if you have not given your life to Christ, but you're ready to make that commitment, to have Him be the author and finisher of your faith, and call upon Him as such. Call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. I'll be up here in the front to receive you, and Ted, you're going to be in the back. Ted will be in the back to receive you if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. But we're here to help, to lift people up, to help you to be what God wants you to be, and to help you to know Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. Let's stand together and sing.